There was given me a thorn for the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. Concerning this, I thrice besought the Lord that it might leave me. And he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for strength is made perfect in weakness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Venerable religious and dear parishioners, Holy Mother, the Church is preparing us well for Lent with the three Sundays that precede it. Last Sunday on Septuagesima, when we reflected upon St. Paul saying, I chastise my body and bring it into subjection, we were reminded that we have a fallen nature. And because we are fallen, we have to do penance. We have to give up things. We have to deny ourselves. Because if we don't, our fallen nature will get the best of us. And so that was preparing us for doing the work of penance, or rather of fasting during Lent. Today, the emphasis is, believe it or not, on prayer, on obtaining the grace of God in greater abundance. And next Sunday, we're going to hear St. Paul's well-known, inspiring epistle on charity. So there we have it, the three things we need to do more during Lent than we do at other times of the year. We need to do more penance, more fasting, disciplining of ourselves, giving up things. We need to do more prayer, grow in prayer during Lent. And we need to do works of charity, more so than at other times. Those are the three works that are prescribed for all of us: fasting, prayer, and works of charity. Interestingly, the first 3 days of Lent are going to repeat the exact same three themes. Ash Wednesday will be about fasting. Thursday, the first Thursday in Lent, will be about prayer and how to pray better. And then the Friday, first Friday of Lent, about doing works of charity. So you see how well the Church prepares us for Lent every year. Parenthetically, I might add that the modern church has done away with the pre-Lenten season. They go straight from Epiphany time into Lent. There's no preparation of people, which can only mean a lessening of the importance of Lent. And as a matter of fact, there's only 2 days of fasting in all of Lent in the Novus Ordo Church, Ash Wednesday and Good Friday. The fast that the Church has always imposed on us is gone. And Fridays of Lent are the only Fridays that they must abstain from meat, and they eat meat the other Fridays of the year. But that's beside the point I'm trying to make today. So I would like to emphasize prayer today. And it's all about getting the grace of God. We need grace. There's two types of grace. There's sanctifying grace, which is also called habitual grace. It stays in the soul, and the only thing that can drive it out is mortal sin. But that sanctifying grace is all important. Without it, you cannot enter heaven. But there's another kind of grace, and I think this is especially what St. Paul's trying to emphasize today, actual grace. This is the grace that comes and goes, intensifies at times, is less at other times. And this is the help we need from God to be good. We cannot do it by ourselves. And even the great St. Paul, after all he had been through and all he had done and being taken up to the, as he calls it, the third heaven, even there he's reminded, without the grace of God, he's nothing. He can't do it without the grace of God. Even he had to suffer some kind of physical infirmity, or even more likely, temptations of the flesh. Yes, even St. Paul was tempted against purity. And it was so strong, it was so persistent. He said, God, please take this away from me. And what does God say? Nope, I'm not taking it away. Why? Because my grace is sufficient for thee. So grace is what we need to get to heaven. We need tons of grace. Actually, I can't say that because grace is a spiritual thing. You can't weigh it, but I'm just trying to get across a point. We need a great deal of grace. And how do we get grace? Well, fortunately, God already gives some grace without even being asked. Our good Father in heaven already gives grace. It's like a gentle rain coming upon us. But the fact of the matter is that is not enough for salvation. Why? Because God wants us to pray. And the graces that we need for salvation will come to us through persevering, humble, persistent, faith-filled prayer. And my dear brethren, we need to ask ourselves, how much prayer is really in my life? I remember a few months ago, I gave you the contents of a survey for our country. And I know this includes everybody, believers, unbelievers, atheists, you name it. But human beings, I'm speaking in general, we spend so much more time on the things of the body than we do on the things of the soul. I don't have the figures in front of me, but it's amazing how much time is needed for this and that activity. And how much time is given to prayer? Well, on Sundays, the national average was about 35 minutes. But Monday was the lowest day. It was an average of 3 minutes. Now, I know there's much more amongst traditional Catholics. But isn't it something to reflect on? We give so much time to the body and not enough to God and to our soul. And that's what matters the most. So God allows those tribulations and temptations in our lives like he allowed to St. Paul. Why? Because it makes us pray. Now, we have a choice. We can either fall into the temptation. We can let tribulation and difficulties get us down. Or, and here's the all-important, or we can pray, deepen our prayer life, and reach out for that grace of God that we need, and which we, as St. Alphonsus says, will get only if we pray. Remember the dictum of St. Augustine, the same God who created you without your cooperation will not save you without your cooperation. So we can't help the fact we came into existence. We had no choice in that matter. But we have to do our part to cooperate with the grace of God, to beg for the grace of God, to make efforts. You know, there's a heresy called quietism, believe it or not, where, and the gist of this heresy, which arose in past centuries, was basically God's going to do it all. You just have to sit back and be quiet, and God's just going to do all the saving. That is absolutely false. Yes, he will do his part, and he always does his part, but we have to do our part, and prayer is everything. Our daily prayer life is feeding the soul, guiding our way, reaching out to our Heavenly Father, to Jesus, to the Holy Ghost, to our Blessed Mother, to the saints. Help me, I can't make it today without thee. So we need formal prayer and informal prayer. Informal prayer is, of course, the prayer we can do while driving, washing the dishes, digging a ditch, you know, manual labor especially, but that is not enough, and God deserves better than that. God deserves our full attention. And that's why we have formal prayer. We set time aside. We don't do anything else. And may I remind you also of what is a grace killer when it comes to prayer? It's noise. Why is that a grace killer? Because it distracts us. You know, you're focusing on a prayer and then you hear this noise or that noise and then your mind goes to that, oh, about so-and-so over here or so-and-so over here, and then I've got to do this. So for our own sakes and for the sakes of others, we need to have quiet because noise is by definition a distraction. Now, some distractions can't be avoided. You know, some of us are blessed with the cross of coughing. Try to muffle it as best we can. And, of course, we're happy to hear the little children. But if they need to be, you know, settled down, we take them out of church so that, you know, it's not distracting unnecessarily. I remember reading about the time of St. Ambrose in his cathedral in Milan. It was remarkable how many, not just hundreds, but thousands of people were there attending the liturgy, but there was a quiet there because people were really praying and focusing. So this is why we need to make that effort, and when we're praying at home, shut out the distractions. You know, if there's music going on or radio playing or things like that, that's got to be turned off because we cannot focus with those distractions there. So the message today, again, is the grace of God. It is amazing what it can do. I mean, you read about the martyrs, how they, you know, what they went through. How could they do it? By the grace of God. And what about people going through their daily martyrdoms, their daily tribulations, their daily heartaches and sorrows and challenges? How do they do it? By the grace of God. And how do we get an abundance of the grace of God? We pray. We ask. So with Lent coming up, let's take a look at our prayer life and see where it needs to be improved. You know, put ourselves on, make sure we're on a schedule. Why? Because we're creatures of habit. We need to have those good habits strengthened. So I'll close with this quotation from the writings of Father de Rabignan, a Jesuit from, I believe, about a century ago. "Believe me, dear friends, believe in experience ripened by 30 years in the priesthood. I affirm that all deceptions, all spiritual deficiencies, all miseries, all falls, all faults, and even the most serious wanderings out of the right path all proceed from this single source, a want of constancy in prayer. Live the life of prayer. Learn to bring everything, to change everything into prayer, pains and trials and temptations of all kinds. Pray in the calm. Pray in the storm. Pray on awaking and pray during the daytime. Going and coming, pray. Tired out and distracted, pray. Whatsoever your repugnance may be, pray. Pray that you may learn to pray. Teach us, O Lord, how to pray. But I cannot pray, some will say. That is heresy. Yes, you can always pray. If you feel a disgust, nay, a horror of prayer, pray on. Pray in spite of yourself, against yourself. Beg for the courage in prayer which our agonizing Savior merited for you by his pangs in Gethsemane and upon Calvary. Pray, for prayer is the strength which saves, the courage which perseveres, the mystic bridge cast over the abyss which joins the soul to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.